know that. Then that leaves me Harry and Jerry, Hot Jaws. I look at Hang On Sloopy. He's another horse that does his best on the lead. So I throw out Hang On Sloopy. Queen Greybee, I think Spunky Rascal is better than Queen Greybee, based on all lines that I've looked at. So I throw out Queen's Greybee. Now I'm down to Harry and Jerry and Hot Jaws and Spunky Rascal. Now here again, all I've got to do is get rid of one horse if I'm a two-horse player, or make a decision and let the computer make it. But you know, I'll go ahead and maybe throw in a couple of others, knowing that they don't win, but I ain't going to let the computer get them. I've got to make a decision. Can Spunky Rascal win this race? Is Dwayne's Little Hero going to drop back to the running style of December 92? Well, the horse hasn't won anything. He did at a 7.5 furlong. He came off of the pace, setting about 7. Now, who do I go with? Do I go with one of the early horses? Or do I make a decision and go with one of the two turf horses? Now I start the matchup. Now I try to find what line I'm going to use. Now I will take a final look at some of the horses I have thrown out and some of the horses I've left in and eliminate horses. Hot Jaws at Woodlands ran a 21-4. 21-2 in the lead. And at Sarban ran a 22-2 in the lead. The best that Harry and Jerry has run in the lead is a 22-3. A 22-2. Right? 2 or 3, I can't see on this printing, but... So I say, hey, Hot Jaws will get the lead. Now, what kind of a factor will he have on Harry and Jerry? Well, the thing is that he's going to have a really good lead on Harry and Jerry. Now I go to look at the second fraction and the second call. I've got a 45-1. Look at the second back at Woodman's. I've got a 43. You know, Harry and Jerry isn't even going to be close. You know, he isn't going to be close. Now, I've got a horse sitting out here, Hot Jaws. I said, what if somebody does happen to hit him? Well, if they get real close, it looks like he quits. But they're going a mile. He's going to be able to slow down. He's going to have the lead. So I'm going to throw Harry and Jerry. I'm going to eliminate him. Now, let's look at Hang On Sloopy. I've already thrown him out. But I want to look at his mile race, 6 back, 47-4, 111-3, 135-4, wires it. One above it in a mile was setting third. So, you know, he's going to have to be, I've got already got two horses in front of him, Harry and Jerry, and Hot Jaws. And you know, every trainer and jockey on the track can see when a horse needs to go wire to wire. So I said, well, they're going to send some old stupid horse that can't win the race to try to keep one of these sprinters from winning. Now, this is the thinking of these cowboy trainers. So I eliminate Hang On Sloopy. Queen's Gravy, you know, he can win at a 111-4, 46-3, 111-4. But lately, he hasn't been doing very much. So I don't like this horse. Ice of Diamonds, I don't even want to look again. Across Express, I'm through with. Spunky Rascal, I keep. Dwayne's Little Hero, you know, does his best fourth or second, or running second or first, he's out. Clean to the Bone is out. I'm down to two horses. Hot Jaws and Spunky Rascal. Now my readouts are going to probably it's going to do this. Now I don't remember this race, but in this process I know that I threw out the place horse. Now I know that.
You sure did.
Always do.
Because I always throw out that place horse. Now my wife is really getting good at getting the place horses. She said, you give me the winner and I'll find the horse. And she doesn't mind putting those little ugly horses to run aside. Now I know this. But it's really hard for me to say, well, hey, here's my two horses. I can't understand why I say that. Well, Funky Rascal is probably my second horse. And he ought to outrun everybody else in this race. But he don't. You know, he can. But it's hard for me to visualize this. So I know that Hot Jaws is going off. They're going to take the lead and they're going to run away. I know Harry and Jerry is going to quit. Harry and Jerry will probably break out of the gate. He likes to run first or second position when he breaks. And he'll probably go up and take the lead at, you know, just before the quarter mile. But at the quarter mile, Hot Jaws is going to take over. And I know this from looking at the race. Here is a horse that's going to defy the running style of sustained horses winning turf races. Now, you've got to remember, I knew that this was happening at Remington Park. So, well, there may have been a bias on the... I don't even know what a bias is. For a long time, I thought it was the buyer speed rating.
That's the way they pronounce it in Oklahoma. Buyers.
I thought that's what everyone was talking about. Now, right now, I'm having a little bit of difficulty with the matchup. Because of the new format. My eyes want to stop where it used to stop. And now there's another call. My eyes refuse to see the buyer's number. I never know what the buyer's number is. My eyes refuse to see the class and the date. The jockey. I see the three calls, the four positions, and the beaten lengths, and the horses they ran against. And this is what I'm looking for in a race. All right? The way this race happened is Hot Jaws stole this race.
Turn to page 61.
Hot Jaws led on this race. He goes wire to wire. Spunky Rascal is setting almost dead last. saying, well, he's going to die. These sprinters and all this is going to die. I know this is what's going through the jockeys in their mind. And Spunky's going to be closing in. Now, people, this is the matchup. I do every race. Generally speaking, this way. Sometimes I do it with positions. I did every race, every Breeders' Cup race, without making any adjustments, without putting them into the computer. And get 6 out of 7. And no, I did not have King Kong or whoever he was. Even on the replay, I didn't have it. I still thought it was the other part of my entry, the one horse coming. I was just standing up and shouting because I knew that was the one horse. And when they said, no, it's 11. I said, who? I said, I didn't even know 11 horses was in the race. Now, that happens because I just completely threw that horse out. Leroy gets 5 out of 7 on a $2 ticket. Took my horses and put them on a $2 ticket. Now, like I say, Tom Brohammer is a good friend of mine. Tom knows all of these wonderful things and trainers and jockeys and ups and downs. But, you know, I'm just a plain old country boy. And I don't know any of this. And our people down there, Oklahoma, ain't that smart anyway. This guy hit that pick 7, came out and said, I'm the world's greatest handicapper. I spent $17,000 to get that. I said, God darn, $17,000. I bet he's a I don't know what he was about to do when Betrano was about to win that race. And you know, when I saw that other one horse coming,
for 17,000, you probably had Betrano too.
But I did. I knew that this was happening at Remington Park. Call it a bias, call it what you want to call it. But even if there wasn't, I knew that Hot Jaws would have a shot to win this race. Now, last Sunday, Harry and Jerry was in another race. This was the second time that he had he'd run before, and the horse had beaten him all the time. Okay, now this trainer, the horse was Shackerpate that I bet in the race. I lost the race. And after the race, the trainer had an entry in the race. Okay, the other part of the entry was the one that's supposed to get the lead. If Harry and Jerry doesn't get the lead, he's dead. The other horse broke slow, and Harry and Jerry got the lead and wired it. And Shackerpate finished second. Now here's the trainer after the race. Now that's the only way Harry and Jerry could have won this race, is if he gets the lead. Now, but after the race, the trainer says, they asked him, well, you had two horses in the race. Said, did you have one of them in as a rabbit? Said, yes, I had Bronco Bob in as the rabbit, but he broke slow. If Bronco Bob gets the lead, Shackerpate wins the race. But you know, so I lost the race on a bad break. And even the trainer didn't know this, but I knew it. If Harry and Jerry, but I knew that Harry and Jerry couldn't get the race with Bronco Bob in there. But Bronco Bob broke slow. At the Oklahoma seminar, you know, Howard, I'm going to tell you, Play two horses. This is a two-horse methodology. Before the race, I told them at the seminar, the Louisiana Derby. I said, Pete Ski and another horse are going to go fighting for the lead. They're dead. You watch these ugly horses, Kiss and Chris and Walinda, come flying at the end. Everybody knew that I hit it. Said, hey, he got it. I didn't get it. I bet Kiss and Chris. Because I thought Kiss and Chris was better than Walinda. You know, that's a call I made. But only a nostril separated them. Was I wrong? The only thing I was wrong about, not betting two horses. So bet two horses. You know, this is just a hang-up. Here's a guy that used to bet all the horses to get a winner and wouldn't bet two now.
I'd write a novel about that. The transformation of Jim.
Now, this race. Now I'm going to tell you one today. They're running a race today. The Hawthorne Gold Cup. I'm going to give you one of the horses. Now you pick your other one. And you got two horses. Marquetry. I haven't looked at the race that close. This horse could go out there and wire this field. There's sprinter types supposedly in the race. Now, what if he gets beat? What if he gets beat? You should have bet the other horse. Yeah. All right, now. If you have any questions, I'll answer your questions concerning, take a few minutes to answer some of your questions concerning this particular race or matchup. Now, don't ask me about pace lines or contenders, but just matchup in general, I'll answer.
What I'd like to know is, when you find a line on a horse to match up the other horses with, do you ever match up the horse with himself to see if he can duplicate that line again? Per fraction, like Hot Jaws, his last race is 21-4, 45-1, 109-2. Then the race before that, which is a real superior race over that one. How do you know if this horse can really run a 21-2, 43, 108-9-3 again, or close to it?
Well, the reason I know is I wouldn't use the second back. I know what he can do. If you'll take a look, this is something that you need to know on the matchup. Why did he lose his last race? The reason is that he was headed. Now, how long was he headed? I'm not sure because it doesn't say. But at the half mile, what that means, there's a horse running along looking him in the eye. Okay? There's a horse running along looking at him. You know, this cost him the race. From the half mile to the head of the stretch, this horse only loses a half a length. So I say, well, if he's not headed today, at a slower time, at the half mile, then these 2.5 lengths, I just forget them. So I say, well, I can look back and say that second back, he ran against a faster race, and look all the way back to Exarvin at a 22-2, 46, 105-3, and see that the horse can, go wire to wire at slower times, and I think it's going to be slower today. Probably the key to the race was this Oakland race in the slot. Sloppy races a lot of times run like this horse is going to run on the turf. So I said, well, hey, look, he doesn't really necessarily have to have the lead to win this race. But he's going to get it, and I think that the horse is really just going to be coasting. Now, this is a decision that I make, and I make them rather quickly and easily.
I got to admire the man's courage. He asked you a question.
Usually when Jimmy says it once, that's it. Any more questions? Anybody got it? No, yeah. There's another nervy guy. No more. You got yours. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
Jim, when you got, say, two front runners or two early horses, how do you know that they're going to die in the stretch and a sustained horse is going to win? I've seen two front runners go head-to-head, and one of them wins. And then there's other times when they die and a sustained horse comes and wins. I mean, is there any guideline or anything that you can use?
Yeah, the times.
Strictly the
times? Yeah, strictly the times and positions, and what does this horse do, like Harry and Jerry. If he's headed, he normally quits. I really love the stretch call. I really love the stretch call. And if you listen to Brohammer, when he sets up his guidelines, he loves the stretch call. Where is these horses going to be setting at the head of the stretch? You know, this is when they make their move. This is when they start really running. So never ignore the stretch call. Here are Hot Jaws and the slot. So, you know, you can't stop. You've got to look at every fraction in the race and make this decision. Now, like I say, sometimes you may be wrong. Sometimes, let your computer tell you. I've done this so much that it would be difficult for me to answer you in that other than what I have just said.
Look at the readouts. Let them fashion your question on page 61. Okay, you want to try for two?
Yeah. My biggest difficulty is trying to match up what you call paceless races. You don't know who's going to take the lead. You find a lot of horses that are running, that have a presser style or a sustained presser style or something like that. And I have the biggest difficulty is trying to. Do you add the beaten lengths to the each?
No.
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 Well, how do you determine?
Never add beaten lengths.
Uh-huh.
Anytime that you add beaten lengths to a call, yes. Yes. In reality, a horse beaten one against a 22 is running a 22-1. But as Einstein said, you know, time is irrelative. This is something that Howard Sarton told me in the very beginning. Horses are creatures of habits. So the first part of your question, do not add beaten lengths. Second, deal with the pace of the race. The horse that ran the best against the fastest times in the race. What position was he in? The best horse ran against the 22, 45, 110, setting fourth, third, second, and wins. Where will he be today? Will he be closer? Now, contrary to what you think, sometimes there's some horse going to go out there and take the lead. And sometimes you've got to look at all 10 lines and determine if they've ever been in the lead. You can go ahead and say, here is a horse that is run against the 22 a half the length off. Say, well, you know, he's going to get this lead by default. But don't worry about the half length. Lead the fastest times in the race. Horses that have performed at a better pace, 22, 45, 110. Okay.
It was close.
So when you're looking at the matchup and a speed duel with two early horses, do you have to consider the close position and who's going to be able to come
out
on the turn?
No. A horse on the inside breaking for the lead, and a horse that's setting out in the four hole sometime. You never know which one is. It's the one that is run against the fastest time. I don't worry about post positions, just like, you know, I don't worry against bias or some of the other things. I don't worry so much about those because I don't want to be cluttered up.
Yeah, but he loses three out of every 10 races, remember?
But, you know, most of your farms now, you have seen where this horse is going to break. Look at these little numbers, third, seventh, five, four. This tells you where this horse normally breaks. You know where they're going to be sitting all out that track. Use every little part of this. Well, I don't use the buyer's number. Okay. Howard wants me to, there's some readouts in here.
These are Leroy's readouts.
Leroy does, she puts them into the computer because
you got six horses in here.
She likes to have a number to look at. She likes to kind of know what's going on because, you know, a lot of times I might get disturbed in the track. But normally I've learned a long time that if I bet on a horse, if I've changed my mind or bet on a horse, I always put her down on the horse also. You know, I've got into a lot of trouble. Why'd you change your mind? All right. Now, if you look at these numbers, the EXD on page 61, the EXDC deceleration numbers. Look at the total. Now you can see how they run. The first and second and third, those are the fractions. 100 means the horse has the lead. He has the best. Now, Hot Jaws has a 287.95.
Is this auto adjust?
Yes. That's
Rob. And he's, you know, he's just number one. And at the bottom, that's the number two adjust. Now, the thing is now, it's hard for me to read these numbers, and on the new programs, they've been sorted.
Where's the comparability?
Oh, all right. Now, look on the next page. 62. Now, contrary to this, is not really a morning line. This is a odds line based on your handicapping. Now, there is a difference. Most morning lines has from 100 to 120% probability, and they want all of the horses in, so that they could get a morning line on each horse. All right, now this, the probability of this race, this is based on factors within the program, within the Sarton methodology. This says that this horse, Hot Jaws, is 0.24. Now that's based on the horses I put in, my handicapping of this race, nothing outside. This is the odds of your handicapping. Now, based on my handicapping, Hot Jaws has an 80% chance of winning this race. You know, I'm going to bet this horse, sight, eyes out, I'm going to bet this horse at 80% chance. If he loses, so be it. Now, let me show you something. Take your second horse and add the probabilities together. 88.89% chance of one of these two horses winning that race. Those are pretty good, you know, so... Like I say, bet two horses. What do you do in a race like this if Hot Jaws is going off at even money? You know, bet him to place. Bet him to place and show. And bet your other horse, you know, put 90% of your money on him and two across on your second horses, three across, or whatever you're going to bet. But at those kind of odds, he goes off
18-1.
At 18-1, you don't have to worry about it.
That's value.
Here's your second horse, Hang. Who's Hang?
Hang? That's the Hang on Spoopy.
Hang on Spoopy.
He didn't.
And it is 18-1. You don't.
Well, Hang on Spoopy
is a 360.
Oh.
But he's there when he's there.
At 360-1.
In real life.
Got it. You know, here you've got two horses. Who's the.
Dwayne is your counter energy horse.
But oh God, I knew that somebody would place.
Well, look at him over here. He's your counter energy horse. Look here.
And look at old Spunky. He's still sitting back there wondering what's going on up in front of him. And he goes off as a second favorite, but there isn't any true favorite in this race.
Queen's Gray Bee didn't even come in on the readouts. We had to throw her out. She was so bad.
I did it. Easy.
Well, we did it. We had to do the computer. You did it. With that Cherokee blue-eyed insight.
You know, this is how you use this probability.
That a man in the balcony just meant
you use the probability this way. Add the two best up. Now, don't worry about what they're going on. Say, well, hell, he's supposed to be 0.24 and he's 15-1. Did I make a mistake on your handicapping? No. He's your best horse.
Question in the balcony, doctor.
Yes.
On the pace line, though, isn't the pace line distorted because you're taking a pace line off of a sprint instead of a loop?
I two adjusted it to take care of that.
The two adjustment or the auto projector will take care of it. Many people worry so much about that.
You got kind of a.
You know, I don't worry about it. If I think a sprinter can win, I bet him. You know, I'm not going to worry about a multiplier or a projector or adjustment. You know, if you're going to bet two horses, you got one. Now get rid of the other sprinters. Put all your sprinters in and get rid of them. Get the best of the sprinters, and it's going to be Hot Dog. Say, well, he's one of my horses.
He survives the two adjustment very well.
You know, he's really fast.
The Hot Dog's got a minus 2.8 adjustment and still came out first. Where was his hand again? The British man. You from England or Australia?
New Zealand, I suppose.
Jim, when you matching them up, what do you look at when you've got a sprinter against the rounders? Do you look at the speed rating to see if they've got a chance, or do you just look at the final time of the sprint?
Yeah, I will look at speed ratings. I had rather look at final times because I've noticed there's been so many errors in some of the racing forms based on speed rating. But yeah, look at it.
He's looking, though, at that portion's fractions. And he's saying that's what really he looks at.
I look at all of the fractions. And now, what am I going to do if I think that Harry and Jerry is going to take, if they're going to take each other out? Then I start looking for the best of the sustain.
Any questions, brother?
I didn't like Queen Gravy at all. If I thought that they would have probably... Now, let me answer it this way. If I think that Harry and Jerry and Hot Jaws are two sprinters that are going to take each other out, in all reality, my two horses would have probably been Dwayne's Little Hero, Yuck, and Spunky Ranch. Would have probably been my two horses. Because I would not have accepted the last race on Hang on Sloop in that 108.
You mentioned when you do the race, you don't pay any attention to the track. But when you're doing the matchup, like Harry and Jerry and Hot Jaws, they don't seem to have run on the same tracks. Do you pay any attention to what track they come from and looking at the times of the different fractions?
Well, to say no wouldn't be quite true. But you know, I pretty well know what the tracks are, and I know that the quarter mile, other than, say, one of your Maryland tracks, or, and some of them that run 23s and something like this, are pretty close. But I know that, you know, a 21-4, if I take and add 2/5 of a second to that, he's still got Harry and Jerry by, you know, a length. And this is all this horse needs is a full-length daylight. We like to call that daylight. You know, before they had fair mutual betting in Oklahoma, you used to go to the races and bet on, I bet this horse can win by daylight. And he could get daylight on this horse. Now, a horse can, and the jockey can get a little bit brave if they can get out there and get a lead. This horse is going to continue on at the second call, I mean, second fraction, and pull away at the half mile. Now, in reality, somebody came up and got him, and he dropped back to second at the half mile. But, you know, I didn't see this happening. But the times were so slow that, you know, this horse could almost just walk on. You know, they're not, even if they hit him, he's got tremendous, you're looking at a sprinter. Here's something else. A sprinter that can run against slow routers and conserve energy. I'd love to see a sprinter in the lead coming down the straight. I'd love to see them in the lead that haven't exhausted any of their energy.
Very simple way to find this out if you have difficulty with Jimmy's style of matchup is to stick your fastest, determine who your fastest sprinter is, put them in your program. Find out which sprinter comes out best on the sustained pace screen. Hot Jaws, despite the fact that he's an early horse, came out best of all the sprinters on the sustained screen. Now, two, adjusting with the best routers, and if he comes out good on the sustained screen, he belongs in the race. And that's what Jimmy does, but Jimmy does it up here, and we have, the rest of us mortals, have to do it sometimes on a computer.
What you're talking about is one of the things that has confused me more since I've come to the methodology, and that is a horse that looks to be able to get an easy lead in a race, basically a sprinter, takes him around at a walk, and then just the sustained horses go by him at the end. How do you tell when a horse is going to be able to settle slow pace but has nothing left versus one that can slow them down and then have something at the end?
Well,
I just gave the answer to that from a computer standpoint. See how it does on the sustained pace screen. If it doesn't make it there, it ain't going to make it anywhere. New York, New York. Go ahead, Jimmy. Now I'll give you the insightful answer.
Look at the, you know, I use this slop race at Oaklawn Park. You know, here he is, comes off of a pace at 46. So, you know, the pace of the race, you know, this horse had tremendous energy left. Coming off at a 46. Look at the race in the mud. Now, here he's headed from the half mile to the head of the stretch in the mud at a slow pace. So I know that this horse, you know, if no one challenges him, even if they do, that the fastest one in this race is Hot Jaws and Harry and Jerry. These routers, what do they run? 47s, 48s? You know, if he can get away with a 47 or 46 and change, you know, he can coast on. The only problem that you've got to look for is, will Harry and Jerry stop him? Will he make him use his energy? Not any of this other. Sure, this happens sometimes. But just like I said, there's another race in a few minutes. And if you're wrong on this one, I could be wrong on two in a row. And I'm not going to change what I do on the next one. Because I'm going to do the same thing that I did. And I do the same thing on every race that I just did this race.
Jim, I have trouble with doing turf vice dirt.
What's your question?
Well, the point is...
I have trouble getting girls, too, at my age. Now, what's your question?
Okay, you're saying that this horse will run the same, just not looking at page 61 and 62, but you're saying that just take the fastest horse?
I'm saying pick the fastest horse regardless, and look and see what he can do. Now, I looked at the slop race at Oaklawn Park, and slop races a lot of times will run like a horse runs on the turf.
You know, you're the guy that just won $18,000 in 20, and you have the audacity to say you have trouble. You ought to give some of that money away. This guy, would you ask that question? What did you pick up in the last month? Was it $28,000?
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. let me leave. I'll get back into more of the matchup a little later.
Okay, but what we're going to do now is
we got someone else. Others.
Well, we don't want to stay there. We don't want to cut Marion short. So we'll start him after lunch with the next race. So Jimmy, why don't you do a demonstration on the big screen, kind of break things up, do a little demonstration of the program you wanted to demonstrate. Which one are you going to have him do?
I don't have a race.
Why don't you do a race? I want you to show. Remember, you're going to demonstrate something.
Yeah.
You brought a disc. Whatever one you want. Just until 1 o'clock.
Give him your disc.
Okay.
Make sure you get it back.
Yeah. Well, which one are you going to do? The SPN or the?
Let's do the SPN, and let me just show some of the things that we're working on. Here, I've got one, Howard. Never mind.
Because Leroy's got mine. I don't want to get in your purse.
You know, since I'm going to go ahead and do this, let me make a couple of announcements, or what I'd say that we probably need to say. You know, Howard and I, we kind of fought the odds maker. This is something that people wanted. We kind of fought maybe having a one number situation, but this is something that people have wanted. And, you know, this is probably, Howard being the doctor, is a service type organization. And we try to help our people as much as we can and give them what they want. How many of you have the desire to, this has the XBC on it. How many of you have the desire to download from Bloodstock? Raise your hands. Don't be ashamed to raise them. All right. Now, we have fought this.
Not an overwhelming number, incidentally.
But how many people have to drive or do not have access to racing farms? See, we have people that have to drive maybe 150 miles round trip to pick up racing form.
Welfare to racing form. Welfare to racing form.
We are working in the Tulsa Resource Center, Research Center, now on an interface that will interface Bloodstock and take all races into the certain methodology programs. And this is a reality. It isn't something that won't happen. It's something that has happened. So, you know, it's something we're not going to. Howard has given his opinion on this, he's told you. But, you know, we can't fight progress. You know, bloodstock is here to stay, the 900 numbers are here to stay.